We are well ahead of schedule, so we propose that we bring the last item of the agenda forward.
Yes.
Accounting policies and estimates.
That's not on my agenda.
Number seven?
I don't have seven. And it's six.
I thought it was a lucky number.
The paper, I don't have.
Oops.
You know.
Be very spontaneous in your views.
You can do this in your sleep, Russ.
I do have the paper. I just don't have any change.
Hey, who can I give the floor to? Please, go ahead, Shalani.
Thank you, Hans. We will now move to agenda paper seven. The ISB published the exposure draft accounting policies and accounting estimates, proposed amendments to IAS 8 in September 2017. The proposed amendments aim to help entities distinguish accounting policies from accounting estimates. At the April 2018 ASAF meeting, we sought your views regarding some aspects of the feedback received on the exposure draft. In particular, we asked your views on whether providing illustrative examples was feasible and whether finalizing the amendments as proposed would provide sufficient improvements for the board to proceed with the amendments. The purpose of this meeting is to obtain your views on our analysis and recommendations included in Agenda Paper 7A. In particular, we seek your views on two issues. The first issue relates to the proposed definition of accounting estimate. Paragraph 13 to 22 discuss the key matters raised, and paragraph 23 to 39 set out our analysis on these matters. Paragraph 40 to 42 set out our plan recommendation. Based on our analysis, we plan to recommend revising the proposed definition of accounting estimates to specify that accounting estimates are monetary amounts in the financial statements that are subject to measurement uncertainty, and these monetary amounts are outputs of measurement techniques used in applying accounting policies. We also plan to recommend the board clarify that if a change in an input and/or measurement technique used to develop an accounting estimate results from new information or new developments, the effects of that change are part of a change in accounting estimate and not the correction of an error, and specify that estimation techniques and valuation techniques are examples of measurement techniques an entity uses to develop accounting estimates. The second issue relates to the proposed amendment to the definition of accounting policies. Paragraph 44 to 55 explain the key matters raised, and paragraph 56 to 58 set out our analysis on these matters. Based on our analysis, we plan to recommend that the board does not amend the definition of accounting policies and retain the existing definition of accounting policies in IAS 8.
We also thought it would be helpful to give you an update on the discussions from the IFRS Interpretations Committee. So the committee discussed the agenda paper 7A at their meeting last month. Before we ask for your feedback, we're just going to give you a brief update on some of the committee members, on the main views from the committee members. So the first thing is, many committee members said that staff proposals for the definition of an accounting estimates were helpful improvements over the proposals in the exposure draft. However, some said there was still some overlap between the definitions of accounting estimates and in accounting policies. Many members said the board should consider providing illustrative examples to, one, outline the thought process that an entity applies when distinguishing accounting policies from accounting estimates, and two, help clarify how an entity applies the principles in the proposed definition of accounting estimates. Some members said stakeholders would not be able to understand the proposed guidance without illustrative examples or additional application guidance. Committee members discussed the possibility of the board providing such examples through educational materials rather than as part of the standards. Committee members were generally in favor of considering this option, although some said that they would prefer the board provide examples within the standards. I would now like to direct your attention to the questions on page 2 of Agenda Paper 7 and ask if you have any comments on our analysis of the feedback and our recommendations of these two matters or any other matter included in Agenda Paper 7A.
I have a question.
Alexandre.
The way people understood it, I don't know if it's correctly, the difference between convention and a practice is that practice can be idiosyncratic. I have that practice, and conventions is a widely accepted practice. Is that correct? Your views?
Well, to that, I think that would be one way of looking at it, but I think people do have different views on what those terms mean exactly, and that's why initially the board had proposed deleting the term convention and rules.
Yeah, because if that interpretation that I mentioned is correct,
yeah,
then should not be deleted, because convention, if I'm reading that right, you know, and I'm not saying that I am, convention is a widely accepted practice that can exist in a given industry and can be considered an accounting policy. I'm wrong, sorry.
No, I'm not commenting right or wrong in terms of your meanings, but I think it was hearing more feedback than we expected about how people had different views of those terms. That's why I think the staff recommendation is not to do what was proposed in the ED, which was to eliminate some but not all, but just to not touch the definition of accounting policy. So conventions and practices both would stay. We're not going to provide guidance about what they mean, but we're not going to take out any either.
But there is table.
Yes.
But I think Alexandra was raising, if I understood correctly, a broader point, which is, does that mean someone can argue, well, it's just practice, therefore I can choose it as my policy?
No, yeah. This is a...
go through the hierarchy in ISA.
No, I understand. But in the absence, of course, of a standard, in the absence
but it is a conceptual framework and everything else, so it's quite an extensive hierarchy.
Yeah, but in that sense, it's important to keep the conventions as she mentioned.
Ilham, okay.
We received a few comments from the OSS members. So when it comes to the definition of accounting estimate, so one member suggested the ISB clarify what constitutes new information or new developments, which result in changes in accounting estimates rather than corrections of error. And also one member mentioned that the referring only to monetary amounts in the definition of accounting estimate, the confusion. They objected the deletion of non-monetary examples of accounting estimates in IS-8 because it could imply the changes in non-monetary examples will no longer be a changes in accounting estimates. And also one member mentioned that accounting estimates should be defined in a clear concept independently from accounting policies. The usual terms in defining accounting estimates should be in line with the revised conceptual framework. They suggested that the ISB define accounting estimation as a behavioral first and then define accounting estimates as an output of accounting estimation. And second, the definition of accounting policies, so one member asked the clarification of the meaning of principles, basis, conventions, rules, and practice used in the definition of accounting policies in order to address diversity in practice. So finally, so one member mentioned the ISB staff recommends many changes to the original proposal in the exposure draft with regard to the definition of accounting estimate and definition of accounting policies and selecting an inventory cost formula after considering feedback received. So therefore, they believe that the ISB should consider re-exposure or extending the scope of this project and restart it rather than finalizing the amendments modified by the staff recommendation in order to deal with the various concerns and suggestions raised in the feedback received. That's it.
Yes, thank you. We would have liked to see the
drafting of the actual latest amendments, but we didn't see that, so we tried to read what would be the latest proposal. Our reaction is that it is a significant change from the original exposure draft, but if you look at what you have today, there's not much substance in the change, so we question whether whether the changes are substantial enough to move forward. Our understanding is that many issues in this area is very specific. For example, the inventory cost formula and those specific issues, and we are disappointed to see that those specific examples will be taken out and you try to solve everything under the principle-based approach, which at least in this area, it doesn't really work very well. So we would like you to reconsider your approach, not necessarily dropping the project, but to look into more of the specific issues that need to be resolved.
Andrew?
Thanks. Yeah, FRAG supported the exposure draft. Overall, I would say there's a kind of reining back of ambition somewhat in the package in front of us today. And so similar to Nobu, I think it was kind of marginal as to whether there's enough of substance remaining to make it worth proceeding. But that said, I think it's useful to remind ourselves where this all came from, which was, I think, a submission to the IFRIC with a number of examples where there might have been a lack of clarity as to whether a change was a change of estimate or policy. And at the heart of that, if I recall, were situations where the technique valuation model used to determine the amount was being changed. So this proposal, I think, does, in defining accounting estimates, clarify that the technique used to determine the estimate is part of the estimate. So I think it does help to address that question. There's debate over whether it was helpful to include the adjective monetary. I have mixed views on that, and not convinced overall. Not changing the definition of accounting policies. Again, part of perhaps the underlying issue that's behind the IFRIC submission was a perception that there was some overlap, and I think, Gustavo, you mentioned that some IFRIC members still felt there was still perhaps an overlap based on these definitions. I'd be inclined to agree. If there's an overlap, it's because it's hard to address the overlap without shifting the boundary. You know, the boundaries overlap. So I think in trying to avoid narrowing the population of changes of accounting policy, but also to address the overlap, I wonder if you're just trying to achieve incompatible objectives to some extent, and if that's really possible to do. That said, we had a kind of related discussion with the FREG user panel a week or two ago, just really asking in what circumstances they found retrospective restatement of comparatives useful. And I think the overall view was that they do find restatement of comparatives useful where the change reflects the accounting but doesn't reflect the change in the economics. So I take from that any move that reduces the prevalence of retrospective restatements would not be particularly welcome among that particular group of users. So not narrowing the population of changes in, not narrowing the definition of accounting policies, I think would be kind of conducive for in the right direction from the user point of view. On the examples, we called in our comment letter for the ISB to develop some examples, didn't get into whether that should be in a standard or education guidance. I don't think we found the reason not to develop examples particularly convincing in saying that they might not be helpful, and it was very facts and circumstances dependent. I think if you've got clear definitions, it should be perfectly achievable to develop some examples, but I'd be very open-minded as to whether they go in education guidance or the standard themselves. The inventory cost formula seems to attract endless discussion, and I kind of, in our debate, just curtailed the discussion. Some regretted not clarifying the point, but when I asked the question, has anyone actually in their professional career seen an example of a company changing their inventory cost formula? The answer was no, so perhaps some in the room have seen that, but it doesn't seem to be particularly commonplace. Technical people love to talk about it, so I wouldn't make a big deal of whether you do something or don't do something on that from a practical point of view.
Is it inventory?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Russ?
Well, that happens often in the US.
Okay.
So a couple things. One is, in the U.S., conventions means you're not following GAAP, but it doesn't matter. So a common convention is a threshold of when you want to capitalize your PP&E. So GAAP, you capitalize all PP&E, and the ISB will recognize this because you put a designated convention in your lease standard, right? You don't capitalize the leases unless they're over a certain amount. The U.S., we didn't do that. I suspect what will happen in the U.S. is everyone will say, well, it doesn't really matter unless it's over 5,000. So they'll come up with something. That's a convention. It's technically not correct, but it doesn't matter. So, right, it's not material.
Okay.
So that's what convention means. The one thing, just to confirm, you don't have in your literature a section about a change in accounting policy and separate from a change in estimate. Is that right?
No, we do.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm a little concerned about saying a technique is a change in estimate, not a change in accounting policy. My question is back to inventory. If you go from FIFO to retail method.
Okay, you can say it, then I won't say it.
Not LIFO, because I know you don't have it, but FIFO to retail, is that a technique or an accounting policy change? Your basis is historical cost. And the reason I think you ought to think about it is if you're changing a change in estimate, I think you're going to allow a company to go back and forth, back and forth. And at least in the U.S., we have a higher threshold to change in accounting policy. It has to be preferable. Mm-hmm. If you're a public company, you have to get an independent analysis of that. I think you have that, too. By saying it's a change in estimate, you might not need to do that. And if the reason you want to be a change in estimate is because you don't have to do retrospective recasting financial statements, you could lump it into saying it's inseparable. I just worry that technique may be interpreted very broadly. When basis is only the thing that's an accounting policy.
We do have the same, not exactly the same words, but we do have the same preferability requirement for change in policy.
Change in policy. Right. So going from retail to FIFO.
I'm not touching that one. I'm just saying we do have the same requirements for preferability.
But would you view market based and cost based and a fair value as a technique or a policy?
I'm not so stupid to answer that in public without having that.
Those are the things you're going to have to answer.
Linda.
Okay. All right. I'm not going there either, but anyway, well, I might. But pretty simple. On the definition of an accounting estimate, we support what you do. We think it's clear, better wording. You know, from what we've talked to people, they understand it, which is important. We would say, similarly to what others have said, that we still think you could do examples. So there you go. We understand why you backed away from changing the wording of the definition and the accounting policy and think it's actually probably fairly pragmatic. If you didn't really expect a big change in practice, then we understand why you're doing it. In terms of the inventory cost formulas, I guess the only thing I would say is I think the argument that Russ makes is really the thing that historically we've relied on is you don't want someone changing, you know, from one method to the other and calling it an estimate and not having to do what they need to do from a retrospective adoption perspective. It's just that when you then conceptually say it's a technique and that's a change in estimate, you've got an inherent conflict. So if this is the rule you're going to leave in place, just indicate it's a rule and why you're doing it, and we can stop talking about it.
Cédric?
Thank you, Hans. In France, we are supporting the changes that are suggested here. And we were not especially in favor of adding example because...
Can you speak up louder?
Yes, because either the example would be... too obvious, or they would be subject to new discussions, as we have seen, for example, on inventory. So if the principles are sufficiently clear, so it would not be necessary to add examples. And with regard to the additional changes that are suggested here by adding monetary amounts, we are not completely convinced that it is necessary. So we would remain at the former suggestion which was made for the amendment. And finally, we would also suggest to amend IS-8 with the other project, which is concerning the agenda decision, instead of me having two projects.
Leonardo?
Yes, thank you. We support the finalization of the amendment and we support the staff recommendation. I have just a question. We think that the main improvement of this project is paragraph 32A of the exposure draft that is reproduced in page 29 and 30 of the paper. Can you confirm me that you don't want to change this paragraph?
Sorry, which
32A, page 29.
32A. Yes, it will be. Yes, so we are still proposing to clarify that selecting an estimation evaluation technique is part of the accounting estimate. We might change some wording and the drafting might just change to reflect our new definition of estimate, but that clarification will remain.
Concept is the same. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Kimberly?
I think, first of all, the recommendation to leave alone the definition of an accounting policy. We only got some limited feedback generally, but it was supporting that, and my personal view is I also support change that definition, as you've seen with the outreach. When you start playing with the words, people start getting worried about it. So it's better to leave that alone. Also support the clarifications that you've got in paragraph 41 of the paper, particularly 41B, where you're clarifying that estimation techniques and valuation techniques are examples of measurement techniques and developing accounting estimates. I mean, that's in practice when you ask people, when do you have difficulty distinguishing between an accounting policy change and an estimate change? It's the change in valuation techniques is one of the commonly cited examples. So when you're doing fair value and you move from one technique to another. So I think that clarification is going to be very helpful. Disappointing that you didn't go ahead with the other key one that does come up in practice, which is the inventory one. And as has been shown, I think very much from the discussion around the table that there are different views about whether that's a change in policy or a change in estimate. Now, I know you've said, and you quite rightly said at the moment, IS2 does have a disclosure requirement. That's actually the only thing that sort of resolves the debate. I've personally, in my former life as an accounting practitioner, participated in these debates around what FIFO and weighted average, what they are, if they're an estimate of cost or if it's accounting policy change. And the only way of resolving it is that, at the moment, is because of the disclosure requirement. That kind of concerns me because, you know, you're doing a disclosure project, which is looking at accounting policies, and somebody might have the bright idea, which is this thing we've had and discussed in New Zealand, is looking at disclosures. One of the reasons why we have the immaterial accounting policy disclosures happening at the moment is because of the requirements and individual standards to disclose accounting policies, in addition to the IS1 requirement to disclose significant accounting policies, and that leads to a compliance focus. And so it's quite possible that in the future that disclosure might disappear. And so I think you could resolve it, but you don't have to do it in IS8. It would be quite simple, I think, to take the clarification you've already proposed and actually amend IS2, where it has got the section where it talks about cost formulas. It'd be quite simple to put a sentence and IS2 to clarify the board's view on that. And if you think you need some more due process, then in an annual improvements project could cope with that. So certainly encourage you to rethink that decision. On the accounting estimate, the limited feedback that we did have on that, there was some support for that change and thought it was helpful, but then there was also questions asked about the wording. What does this mean? What does that mean? And so I think there is sort of some questions around, will it really be helpful when people start working with it? I have a personal concern, so this is very much my personal view, around narrowing it to just measurement uncertainty, So at the moment, we have sort of three categories in IS8: errors, accounting policies, accounting estimates. And accounting estimates is kind of like the residual position. You know, the standard says, for example, if you're not sure about whether something's a change in accounting policy or a change in estimate, you default to change in estimate. I think as a consequence of this, we'll have four categories now. We'll have errors, accounting policy changes, accounting estimate changes, and other changes that don't fit in. And you've identified in the paper the IS37 situation where there's a change in your estimate of the probability of a future outflow that you're saying, well, that's a recognition, derecognition change, not a change in an accounting estimate. The other example I was thinking of is if you move from a level one fair value to a level two fair value. I think the paper in the conceptual framework says a level one fair value is not an estimate because it's an observed price. But if you had to change to a adjusted fair value, so something happened, so IS13 tells you if some event happens, you can't use the observed price, you've got to now adjust it and you move down to level two, you'd be changing from something that wasn't an estimate to something that is an estimate. Is that a change in an estimate? I mean, you might think that's kind of a hypothetical argument, and I'm hopeful that in practice people would kind of get to the right answer anyway, they'd work their way through the discussion in IS8 about what isn't a change in accounting policy and what isn't a change in accounting policy. Hopefully people would get to sensible answers, but it does worry me that are we actually now creating a new set of questions? So that, I guess my personal view is I think maybe you should think about, is it a bit like the pulling back on changing the accounting policy definition? Is it better to leave it alone but to make the two key clarifications that often arise in practice, which is around the valuation techniques when, say, you're estimating fair value and the inventory example by an amendment to IS2. So that's just my personal recommendation.
Could I ask clarification, Kimberly, on the inventory case, you said it comes up. Is that in practice or is that sort of theoretical discussion?
Oh, in practice, I guess I'm reflecting on my experience in practice and also talking to other accounting practitioners. When you first did the ED, we did outreach with the firms. And while it may not be common for any individual entity to be swapping regularly, when you're a practitioner dealing with lots of entities, that's where it's the one that comes up. And so when we did ask people, when you're getting these questions about policy versus estimate, what are the situations that this comes up in? It's the inventory one is the one that's cited, plus the change in measurement techniques situation when you're doing fair value and moving from one tech to another. So those are the two examples that I've personally dealt with and others have too.
And we thought 2 or 3 years ago that this was going to be a very simple exercise. Okay, we break for lunch.